What is the one thing that you dislike about humans?
Racist. I like the racism. I hate racism.
Why?
Because some humans believe that they're better than others, which I believe nobody's better than others. We're all different. We're all different colors, different shapes, different sizes. Respect is a language that we all have to kind of agree on mutually. So to me, respect is number one, and racism is what I hate about humans. Racist humans.
Evolving. I feel like we're technology wise we're growing, but as humans, I just feel like we're getting less and less. We're unable to interact with each other, and it's getting worse and worse. Like over time, people will be able to sit on a table and just eat, and it's just every single year it's getting worse.
I think people that are willfully ignorant really, really upset me.
He's like, oh!
Look, I deal with this stuff every day, and there are some genuinely stupid people out here, and it's so frustrating. Like, it's frustrating to the point where there's stupid people that don't get money, which is crazy, right? Hmm. And they're uneducated and ignorant because the way that the system has been set up or their upbringing or whatever the case was. Those people, they might have an excuse. I mean, you still can educate yourself, which I prompt everyone to do. But the ones that are making money that are idiots is so frustrating because I work in real estate and I see a lot of people out here making money and they don't know what they're doing, right? And I don't know. I think willful ignorance is my answer. And
that was two words.
Yeah.
So you use two words. So I'm going to use Miami drivers. I actually was going to say ignorance, you know, because... and willful is actually a much better way to explain it because there's people that are ignorant that don't even know they're ignorant because they're raised so poorly and there's so many layers just stupidity that they can't break the chains of. But willful is you're screaming from the rooftop that you choose not to learn another culture, which feeds into what you're talking about of racism, right? Absolutely. I choose not to learn about who you are or your perspective or your point of view. So I think I was going to go with ignorance, but I think you give a much better answer, which is willful ignorance, which is the unwillingness to learn anything else.
Yeah. And there's so many resources today. There is no reason to be ignorant. Like, it's not an excuse. Oh, I didn't know. Or, oh, you know, there's so many opportunities for you to get out there. YouTube University is real. There's so much shit on YouTube. You don't even need to go to college. You could become a millionaire.
Right. Well, you take the opposite stance of that, and you have the, the documentary that all of the top executives that left either YouTube or Facebook about the algorithm just driving more and more content of the same thing, right? So that documentary is all about, you know, say a Facebook algorithm or a YouTube algorithm. They're running the algorithm to make more money. That's capitalism, that's entrepreneurship. But what's actually happening? They're feeding the ignorance. They don't know they're feeding the ignorance of each individual. And it's not, the companies aren't doing it on purpose. If you're an ignorant human and you just keep clicking on shit and they'll be like, oh, it's feed them more ignorance, right? I think is creating more and more and more of this is, you know, what is the name of that damn documentary? And you guys have seen this?
I don't know the name. I'm trying to think of the name myself.
The Social Dilemma. Social Dilemma.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's what drives an ignorant person. It's pouring gasoline on an ignorance fire. Right. Right. So like whatever your thing is, they're just gonna pour gasoline on that and tell, hey, you guys know how belief systems work. You got a fucking brain that's full of different files. Those files get filled with references. Those videos are all references. That file gets deeper and deeper and deeper. That the belief gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You can't change the belief. Belief determines your actions. Actions determine your results. So yeah.
Now everybody always talks about, like, you know, you can become a millionaire outside of college, but do you feel like that's also changing people? Like the lack of education. Like, I know, like, it's, if you don't believe in going to school and you don't believe in that, you figure out, like, I hate school, I can make money some other way. But do you think that lack of education is affecting that? Is causing more ignorance?
It's actually a great point, because you obviously, having higher education, you're forcing me to rework probably how I would have answered that if one of you guys would have asked that. I think part of me says, how many of those other students that just got the communications degree actually remember anything they learned? Did half their work, cheated half the way. Like, I think about how I got a 3.7 in high school. I was a National Honor Society. I never read one book. I just got really good at taking tests or borrowing papers, or I was a great memorizer. A lot of it did stick. So, you know, I think I'd go 50-50 on that. I can see where people are dumber in history and...
For sure. We don't need to learn about American history. I get it. But also, it's our education system.
But I don't think education is just learning the topics, too. It's teaching you, like, how to be, like, you know, like...
How to learn. Oh, it teaches you how to learn. That's actually my business partner, 23 years. He said the number one thing that school did for me, and he's a top, like, graduate, three-year magna cum laude, double major motherfucker. He said the number one thing school taught me was how I learn. Not how to learn, but how I Blake.
Right. Yeah, makes sense.
But also, if you have good different. Parenthood and then you don't have education, that kind of puts you in a bad category too. Like, unless you're just special and you got like that hustle, hardworking, and you kind of teach yourself and go through YouTube University.
Yeah.
But if you're just waiting for somebody to hand it to you, then you develop ignorance.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think what college really did for me was, look, I got a degree in accounting. I don't even use it. I am in mortgages, so it's useful, right? But I didn't go into that trajectory. But I think more importantly, I was involved in a lot of entrepreneurial activities. I was president of my fraternity. Mm. Like, I think the opportunities that I had within the university made it so that I can speak to a group of people. I can interact on a social in a social way.
And your friends from college.
My friend, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I do think that it gave me a leg up, because it taught me how to interact with people on a different level that I do use every day.
See, this is what, like, I was traveling for like most of my life, and like I left, you know, in school, great, you know how we have, in Australia we have a thing called schoolies, which is like, here it's like, like when you finish school, what do you go to? Like frat fest, or what do you call it?
Like all these fraternity parties, I mean, afterwards?
Yeah, it's like you go to Mexico and party. What do you call that?
Spring break,
yeah. schoolies. So it's a week.
We're going to schoolies!
Yeah, it's a week on the beach where you just go and have like drunk sex and like take drugs. But I went and traveled by myself. I think that was the best thing that could happen to me. Because all you have is two things. You have your confidence to, like, you have to learn how to speak to people. You're going to be a loser and sit in your hotel, and you have your gut, because you have to listen. Like, do I like this person? Do I not like this person? Like, how do I make someone, you kind of have to get someone to like you. Okay, the bartender, I better be friends with him. So like what you were saying, when your real world experience is traveling by yourself, dude, you just like expedite everything.
I love what you said, because when younger people ask me all the time, well, hey, you dropped out of community college, should I go to school? And I'm like, well, you go to school because you're trying to master a topic, right? I said, but if you feel like you're forced to go to school, then learn leadership. Yeah. And the way you learn leadership is get involved in every organization and then try to take on a role of leadership.
But that's your education, right? That's what I'm saying. So there's a difference. Like if you're in a high school football team and you won a championship and you stay in your same town, same people doing the same exact thing, and you don't develop, that's what I'm talking about. But if you don't have an education, you go out there, you meet people, you make connections, you do, that's your education. It doesn't have to be specifically schooling.
And it's also your personality, right? Your personality is really your business card. It's kind of your trademark, because there are a lot of people who are probably shy or really don't know how to network or how to communicate with a lot. So this is a class that should be taught. Mm. JJ should be teaching.
Introverted,
never spoken to someone.
Exactly. You should be doing a side gig and teaching young entrepreneurs, young minds on how to communicate, because there are a lot of people that are very smart, hardworking, but really don't know how to communicate.
But I'll tell you, man, my friend started this company called Succeed at Dating. It was like teaching, like back in the day, like pickup artistry, but it was like how to meet women throughout the day. And I went to his classes because I'm like, I love this stuff. You're sitting in a room, remember, it's not guys like us. It is overweight, usually Persian, Indian, some white as well. Tech guys in front of a computer, never have any social interaction. They say hi to the Chinese lady every Friday night when they get takeout. Kung Fu Chicken.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Chicken, you know?
You know? General's
but,
house.
But sitting there, I still remember to this day, like their belief system.
Wow.
Like, go talk to that girl and just say, what time is it?
Yeah.
It's easy for you, okay? They go, what happens if she doesn't tell me the time? They already go to these, like, what happens if she has a watch? Man. What happens if she turns it back? Like,
they're overthinking.
One plus one is two. They're like, but what happens if the sun's coming down and she can't see the time? Like, their thought process.
Dude, I used to be like that.
Complete. Really?
I really was, yeah.
I would never believe that.
Doesn't seem.
No, I really was.
Were you shy growing up?
So shy.
Really?
Where did that stem from? Where did that stem that you didn't know how to socially interact with people?
I mean, I guess just like with everyone, it has a lot to do with our childhood and it has a lot to do with our upbringing, right? So I think, you know, those of us that, depending on how your home structure was set up, you know, me and my dad used to just like bump heads. And I think that the way that he spoke to me instilled a belief system in me that when I would go into school, I was like, you know, I'm not good enough. I can't talk to these people.
As a dad of young kids, I'm cringing right now. Like,
my dad's an amazing father. Him and I have a great relationship. Yeah. Right. I was also like always getting into trouble. Always. I was in trouble with the law. I was selling drugs. I was doing drugs. I was doing all this crazy shit. Right. So he had a reason to be upset. But with that being said, you know, I think a lot of times the way that we're spoken to can help shape those beliefs, especially in the earlier years between the age of 0 and 7. That's when you're the most malleable.
Yeah.
So what happened with me, whether or not, you know, it's a subconscious regression I haven't gotten to yet or something, but something happened at some point in time where I believed that I was not good enough for years. Awesome. I thought that I was a piece of shit. I thought that I was ugly. I thought that I was a nerd. I played in band. None of the football players liked me. I got beat up a lot. And so for me, it was like,
Was it moving out of the state? Was that the change?
Yeah, I think
getting away from that negative environment.
I grew up in a very small town. It was very racist. It was in the middle of bumfuck Virginia. And there was not a lot going on. Right. And so I grew up in the shithole town, and that was all I knew. I thought that if you spoke Mexican, you were Mexican. If you spoke Spanish, you were Mexican. That was my belief, because that's all I knew. I didn't know that there was Cuban. I didn't know that there was Colombian, like Venezuelan, Spanish,
Puerto Ricans,
Portuguese. Yep. I didn't know about any of that. There was one Mexican guy in my town, so I assumed if you spoke Spanish, you were Mexican. Yeah. Right. So this is how ignorant I grew up. Yeah. And the place was very racist, and I was afraid to talk to women. I was deathly afraid to talk to women. I used to shake and I would get like really nervous.
First thing I noticed about you is actually your sense of humor. Like I loved your sarcasm, wit, and then you'd laugh at your own jokes. I noticed that immediately at the Hopper show. it was a hearty laugh, right? It wasn't like he would heartily laugh at his own jokes. Like, I like this guy. He's got good spirit.
No, but you're light, dude. You're super light.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
You're easy. We call it in Australia, like, you're very easygoing.
He is. Yeah.
Like, that's very like attractive in a human.
100%. And there's a calmness to it, right? Do you feel a calmness? Like, as soon as I met him, that handshake, I felt this calmness to you. So I love, bro, if you really were that shy in where you are now, bro, you should be proud of yourself. Well,
thank you, bro.
Of course, bro, 100%.
Well, what happened for me, like you said, was I left the environment that I was in because that environment was holding me back. That environment, whether it was true or not, because again, this could have been a subconscious belief that I just held programmed that I was not good enough because of my surroundings. That was true in that scenario at that time. And when I got out, it was like I fucking blossomed.
Everybody else appreciated you.
Yeah, so I started meeting people and I started meeting girls and I was like, wow, girls actually like me? What the fuck? This is weird, you know? And then I just started building self-esteem. I started making money. I started losing money. I started getting it back and I started building up those practices with myself that I was like, wow, I can fucking do something. I am good enough. And if you don't like me, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but you see how you just said that? Yeah. That confidence is really what attracts a lot of women. You see what I'm saying?
Do you hold on to that though? Like sometimes, like, you know how David Goggins said, like they're like, why are you motivated? He said, I wake up every morning and I feel like I'm that 300 pound David Goggins so that I never say I'm like, I'm satisfied, I'm good, I look good.
Bro.
He had to remind himself, was that like part of it? Yes. Like where you would get here and you move to a new environment, like, I don't ever want to go back to that confidence.
Well, that's what keeps me going in business. What keeps me going to the gym is because I don't care if I'm shredded and I'm like about to hop on for a show. I still see a skinny fat kid in my head.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care if I have a beautiful woman. I have an incredible girlfriend. She is amazing. And I still have those doubts sometimes. When I make money, I still have those doubts sometimes that I'm gonna lose everything because I'm used to having nothing.
Motivation.
So that's what pushes me to close the deals. That's what pushes me to go after what I have to do.
Work that extra 3 hours that night. Yeah. Fuck it, I'm not going home.
Because
I'm gonna go work.
It is instilled just like David Goggins.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that was the one line that like got me the whole show because with my brother, when he lost his weight, because when he was younger, I don't know if you feel comfortable talking about he was younger, he was a big boy. And he was bullied a lot.
300 pounds?
Yeah. And he was bullied a lot. And like, he was like picked on a lot.
It was horrible, bro.
And I feel like when he moved environment, same thing like you said, he lost the weight, he did jujitsu, and he got like this confidence. And every morning he wakes up and he reminds himself, like, fuck that. I'm not going back to my old self. And I won't allow anybody to make me feel the way I felt. And that's what drives him to be successful, I feel like. The same with you.
Well, my highest was 286 pounds. And actually weighed myself this morning, 190 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and no surgeries, thank you. No surgeries, none of that, bro. I busted my ass, I ate good. Last 3 years, I would say, I work my ass off 6 days a week. I exercise. But you know what? The secret, to be honest with you, you know what the secret to everything is realistically? Is your mental health. Your mental health is extremely important. You need good sleep, good nutrition. Everything is great, but your mental health is number one, okay? And yes, look yourself in the mirror. Be like, yeah, you are fucking amazing. You are fucking amazing. Yeah. You're gonna do great things today, bro. And honestly, be positive, bro. When you're around people, great people like yourselves, I mean, you guys are just amazing people. I love every single one of your success stories. But it just makes me, kind of feel like I'm in a bubble, like this happiness. So if we could surround ourselves with great fucking people, that is what every single person on this earth has to do, bro. Anybody who's negative, push them out of your life. Do not waste a second on them. But if they're positive and they make you feel good, then you surround yourself with these type of people, bro. So
And sometimes they don't have to say something. Here, sure. Yeah, and sometimes they don't have to say something. It's a gut feeling. Like, yeah, I just don't feel good about this person.
Exactly. Or him, look at him, for example, when we first walked in, bro. His energy is fucking great, bro.
Well, you both are bold, so you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That bold connection.
Yeah. But Andrew, bro, I walked in and I just said, this guy's just, I feel like I've known him for fucking 20 years. I just met him fucking 7 minutes ago.
So, Nick, I have a question for you because we're talking about, like, upbringing. Because you're, like, who's your father, right? Both are fathers, right?
Yeah, yeah, we're brothers.
No, you both have kids, right?
No, I don't.
So you have, okay, questions for you guys. So because that 0 to 7 is so crucial for a young child, and I don't know the stat, but you guys could tell me if I'm wrong. I heard that, what is it, 80% of kids in jail, boys, men, didn't have a fatherly role in their life or someone
probably
that.
Right. Mm.
So how do you now being a father with children, what are you doing like now to be like, yo, I'm going to make sure with all the shit going on.
My math's on the far other extreme. It wouldn't be like, how do I make sure my kid doesn't fuck up? Mine is, how do I make sure I make the best leaders that take shit over, right? Yeah. So it's a completely other mindset.
Right.
My upbringing was super blue collar middle class.
Right.
Very vanilla, right? So we had everything that we needed, but not everything that we wanted. You picked up a toy. They said, hey, you don't need that. And
that's all life.
Right. But somewhere like early, I'm looking around going, all you motherfuckers just do this? Like, this is it? Nobody wants to be rich?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so I remember just watching TV and like, I'm gonna be rich one day for sure. Can't sing, can't dance, can't rhyme, can't act, not gonna do anything illegal.
Yeah.
Only leave sports.
Yeah.
So played college baseball, found entrepreneurship, created wealth, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, my responsibility, I met a lot of trust fundies on the way, a lot of them. And God, not all of them, but there's a lot of trust fundies that have got a lot of just ego issues and just they see a world through a different lens because their parents, they gave them everything, handed them everything, right? So I'm like, all right, how do I not do that? And
to my children.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, my job is not to create wealth to give it to my kids.
Right.
I'm gonna spend all that shit, all of it
on
me and whoever I'm with and my parents and my friends and on them.
Yeah.
But my job is to create the best leaders, humans, leaders, entrepreneurs, contributors to society at the highest level that I can. And their job is to execute, right? So ever since they could talk, they've been learning what we call non-traditional education.
Mm.
So financial literacy, social impact, leadership, entrepreneurship, you name it.
Mm.
And I don't know if you guys have seen his kids, but they're...
Yeah, we have. Impressive. We saw them on stage.
They're on stage. Yeah, they're in front of 2,000 people.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's nuts.
Amazing.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that's so cool, man.
Well, my daughter, she remembers when we had stages that were 15,000.
Wow.
So she walks in the room, she's like, where the fuck is everybody? No, I'm dead ass serious. Like, she's like, what, only 1,000?
Yeah, yeah. All right.
But that's because you were there. Sometimes you don't even have to do much. Just being there, especially for the girls, like having a father just around. Because there's a difference between saying, I'm a father and I'm giving them money and I'm doing, but you're not actually there.
Yeah.
Because presence
is important.
Everything,
But more than present, there's a lot of fathers that are present in proximity. Yeah, so, correct. So for me, it's about creating intentionality. Every day, one of my daily habits is to raise my children up. That's a very specific thing.
Hmm.
It used to be to spend quality time. Well, I'm divorced. How the fuck do I do that every day? I can't. So every day there's something I have to do that raises them up. So when I wake them up in the morning, first thing I do, get your ass up in a nice way. I walk to the mirror and I write a quote on both of their mirrors, something that's at the top of my mind, right?
Wow.
On the way to school, there's a 30-minute lesson. We're starting a business. We're doing a real estate deal on the way.
Mm.
But it's very intentional. So I think other parents probably get a lot more time with their kids than I do. But I'm very specific and intentional with it.
Yeah. How do you do that with a divorce? Just like, I feel like that's one of the hardest things for kids. Like, yeah. How are you able to like not make them feel?
It's gonna happen half the time. I'm very lucky, and I like to think my ex thinks she's very lucky. We had both done so much personal growth and personal development that, you know, we know not to fuck up another generation of humans because of our egos.
Yeah. Sure. You know, I love that you said that. It's so, definitely an ego problem.
I didn't get married till I was in my early 30s. She was in her early 30s. So we had gone through so much growth, development, and success prior to. She actually comes from a divorced family that's extremely amicable, like oddly amicable. The her mom used to watch the kids of her dad with the new wife. Like, it was just too amicable. Wow. She knew that's what she wants, is this the most overly amicable scenario.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. I have three daughters. I've always believed in a simple system as, you put a roof over their head, unconditional love, and you feed them. That's like, as a job description as a father, that's what we need to do. But it doesn't come with the emotions. It doesn't come with the depression, the bullying, the homework, all this extra stuff that's added on as
attitudes.
A father. The attitude. Yeah. And as girls, and you have daughters, so you understand. For me, I was that dad that's on the sideline. They're all volleyball players. So I'm a big sports guy. I love that the girls are in sports constantly. Why? Because it doesn't allow them to have enough time to think about boys, first of all, right? When you don't have a sport, when you don't have a hobby, I feel like teenagers these days are either stuck on a computer, stuck on a video game, right? Or just gaining weight, etc. Anyway, so, and that's what it is for me. So as a father, actively going through a divorce myself, by the way, so I'm only been separated for about 4 months now. So it is rough, Nick. It is really rough, and you understand how that is. But I think the hardest part for me at this point in my life is that separation from them when I was just used to being with them every single day. And then all of a sudden, dad is not there.
That hurts,
they're more emotional. They're more sensitive. And it just
came.
Well, my oldest is 18.
Okay.
She's going to USF. Yeah, she's got accepted to USF. And my middle is 13, and my youngest is 8. So shout out to all my girls, by the way, Kika, Alina, and Emily. So, but it is hard, man.
I think that's probably harder.
It is. It is so hard.
My boy was one. He doesn't know anything except.
Yeah. Except that. See, I don't want to say it's easier, but it's just different, right? It is different. And for me
at one, he doesn't even know.
On the flip side, I wonder if I'm ever going to have the same level of deep relationship with him that I have with my daughter, because in those first few years, I wasn't with him every day like I was with my daughter. So I definitely wonder that. You used the word unconditional love, and this is for you three gentlemen. Every man thinks they know unconditional love for their wife when they find that one, until you have a daughter.
Fact.
You know what? I would take, if I'm taking a bullet for that one before that one any day. Yeah, right? It's a different,
every person, all my friends that had kids said the same exact thing. There's no, like, they can't describe it. There's no way to describe it. Because sometimes I feel like his kids are like my kids because I raised them my whole life, but it's not the same.
It's not something that you can feel unless you have kids. You see what I'm saying? I just can't explain it to you. You can't write it down. I can't implement it into it. It's a feeling. As soon as that child is born, automatically you become.
Well, he delivered his own baby.
His wife
was like, they're in the delivery room and the baby started popping out. The doctor wasn't there, so he delivered the whole baby.
My 8-year-old.
And the umbilical cord was wrapped and he took out the umbilical cord.
No way.
It's good that you're a doctor.
I brought you into this world. I'm taking that out.
Was there nurses there with you?
No.
Well, I was a resident. I was a 3rd-year resident. I was doing my residency, so I was already a doctor. Her gynecologist was in an emergency C-section. Nancy is pushing. All right, pushing, and I'm like, what the fuck, the baby's coming out.
Is this something that you had trained for in your residency?
Yeah, I did.
So many.
But you know what? When it's your child, it's a lot different, because Emily came out blue, cyanotic, completely blue, because the umbilical cord is wrapped around her neck. blue means she's lacking oxygen.
The color blue.
Color blue. Her whole body was blue. So
when you don't get oxygen, you turn blue. That's the color.
Yeah. Wow. So exactly.
It's called ischemia.
I'm thinking of like some creature, you know,
Yeah, bro. I took the umbilical cord. I took it off her neck. I cut the umbilical cord. Left the placenta in there. I wrapped her and I ran to the ICU.
Where was she? Was she on a chair?
This is a fucking story.
Yeah.
Was she on a chair?
No, she was in a regular labor and delivery room.
Oh, and there was no nurses. Waiting?
Nobody was there.
There's one nurse that was just there. That's there because middle.
She doesn't know how to deliver.
You know, she's not a midwife. It's not a midwife. She can't just deliver. You know, so
fuck.
That's why you're not supposed to ever work on your own family members. Yeah. Is because the emotion. Yeah. Because that's how it really started. A guy was supposed to operate on his kid, and the surgery went the wrong way, and he was dying, and he panicked. His brain shot. He couldn't think, and the baby died.
You're not supposed
to work on a family member ever.
Yeah, you can't. But it was a crazy story. I handed Emily to the intensivist, the ICU doctor.
This is the best story I've heard in a long time.
Fucking child. I got to go see my wife. Save my child. So they took her, bro.
That story right there, if he gets on stage and starts with that as a keynote.
The only story you need to tell.
That's the first story. So he's sitting there, it was Wednesday night, wife's in labor, and like then you go into people, you had us.
Yeah. No gloves, by the way, because it was too quick. Yeah, because the head came out way too quick.
Let me tell you about how to fucking perform under pressure.
Yeah, for real.
Exactly. It's a great story, bro. I have a different emotional connection with Emily because it's just, it's... Yeah, man.
Now, what are you selling?
What? Rubber gloves?
That's why the quick.
You part of that rubber glove? I thought that craze was over with Tom.
In life, when you need to make a decision, we have the gloves to help you say that.
No gloves.
Dude, that's great.
There's some guy still trying to close that billion-dollar glove deal.
Yeah. Are you ready to handle the pressure right at this second?
Yeah.
I'll tell you my story. Yeah.
Let's talk.
That's funny, man.
Yeah, man. It was a crazy story, bro. Yeah, man. But see, that's life, right?
Well, you haven't gone yet.
What with what?
We all answered the question.
Oh, yeah. So, self-belief.
Yeah?
Self-belief. Yeah.
Are you someone that had no self-belief?
No.
At any point in your life?
No.
No?
Not like, you know, you have times, but... Like, you know, we all work with people, obviously, you know, I'm helping boys, people. I'm in a business where you're not really selling on like a number. Like you sell, hey, I'll get you this, you get you this, and you're all, you know, the numbers make sense. I'm selling on the belief of transformation and believing in what people can do. Mm. And that you can give all the facts, all the figures, all the ROIs. But at the end of the day, that core belief system, that's kind of where I'm learning from Eli. You know, obviously the belief system's a lot because it's, and people are just scared, dude. Like, it really makes me sad the amount of calls I do. And like, you know, we've met enough people, you know, like, you know, deep down, like, man, they're not going to make it. Mm. Like that attitude, where they're at, like, I wonder how long they've been dealing with this. It makes me so sad because I'm like, what is that? What is it? What do they have to do to change? And perfect example. So my mom's a homeopath. This lady comes into her office, 250 kilos, right? She's so big. Like so big. Now, when you're like a clinical homeopath, nothing phases you. I asked my mom, I'm like, let me ask you something. What makes someone be so big and still not change? Like, what is that? Because they know.
Emotional addiction.
Yeah. But it's like, they know that they're fat. They've tried every diet. They've tried Jenny Craig. They tried all this. Like,
tried body by body.
They just get to a level where it's too far to come back.
Yeah, but the thing, what I want to understand is like, they just like, what is that? And mom says some people will go to their grave with the like, you would think like, you would look at yourself and you go, that's it, I'm fat, it's disgusting. You would think at their level, because it's so obvious, and the world does not, well, it's not nice in the way of like, look, someone can be messy on the inside, but the first thing we see is a fat guy that's eating pizza. It's like, dude, like you're getting judged straight away. Like, how do they not want to move their belief system?
Well, because I personally believe it's because it's become their identity. And there's a lot
of... That's it?
It's also a lot of work. It's a lot of fucking work.
And they're addicted to excuses, bro. Everybody got excuses.
There are some people that want to change.
You're right, but
What is that?
As a fat man, there's also pain involved.
Yeah, but okay, so that's what I mean. So what, I asked mom, where does the pain sit for them? Like, they can't get up, they can't run, they can't go out, they're literally on a bed.
It's joint pain, it's mental pain, mental physique, It's exhaustion to a point where you tell them get up and exercise. It's easier for us and be like, hey, get up and go exercise. Well, she cannot move. To her, it's painful to get up the stairs. So how are you going to push her? Now, yes, I personally believe, from my personal experience, it's baby steps, right? You have doctors that'll tell patients, oh, listen, lose weight, stop smoking, do this, do this. Chill out.
Yeah, but what the fuck is lose weight? That's my worst thing about a doctor.
Give him a plan.
Lose weight. It's like, motherfucker, I'm coming to you for advice.
Exactly.
If I knew what lose weight meant, I wouldn't be sitting in your office.
Well, I mean, you know, most doctors are reactively trained, right? So their job is to fix whatever they break inside from being overweight.
Yeah.
You know, not to prevent them from being overweight.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way, just the training, right? That's what that's what a medical doctor's trained to do. And obviously, I came from the weight loss industry for 15 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had the largest weight loss and fitness challenge in the world for several years. So being emotionally, man, we must have seen a couple thousand people that lost 100 to 300 pounds.
Wow.
On our stage, and the emotional connection, we'd be bawling.
Wow.
It was cool. That's really fucking cool.
Question then. What was the reason they let themselves go so bad?
Let themselves go is one direction. Always been that way is another direction, right?
So, that's a good point. That's right? A good point.
100%.
I think someone who's let themselves go can recover much easier than someone that's
always been fat.
Yeah. Been a certain
way. Somebody that was born without a thyroid and it's impossible. Their metabolism is screwed. And that medical condition itself restricts them from losing weight for a long period of time. Then they hold on to that excuse that I have a thyroid problem.
But that's not like, I don't know, you guys, you're the professionals. Like when people throw that word out, I feel like it's an easy like out. Does that mean you're just fat?
It is. No,
always?
If you don't have, so thyroid itself speeds up your metabolism, helps you lose weight.
So if you have
sweat.
No thyroid.
If you don't have a thyroid, you have no function.
Yeah.
It's thyroid is in here. So this controls everything, your metabolism. It's very important, bro. You can die from it. Like if it's overactive, you can die.
But does it make you fat?
Yeah, of course.
If your metabolism, right? So if it slows down your metabolism.
Your metabolism is completely shot.
These are the doctors.
Yeah. No, true. No, but you're right.
It doesn't make you eat bread and pizza.
Okay, but see, you take JJ, I think this thought process that you're
Well, I think you're talking about
mind,
overall. You're right.
Yeah.
You're talking about rare.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, good thyroid. I'm just
That's actually a good direction. Bread, pizza, sugar.
How do you react to the cheerleader who was a model type and had three kids and now is morbidly obese, right? That's one story versus the, like MJ said, the one without a thyroid gland. But see, luckily with medicine and advances, we can replace the thyroid.
Got it.
I wanna go the direction of food that he went for a second. Everyone, so we live in Miami, so let's talk about what is the level of addiction that people can go through with cocaine? It's extreme, right?
Yeah.
Well, have you ever seen a brain scan on sugar with a kid?
Sugar's
way more addictive.
Yeah, 100%.
So if we're so concerned about people being addicted to a drug, why are we not so concerned about people being addicted to sugar? How the fuck when you're asking why it's so hard for them?
It's an addiction.
It's a fucking addiction.
Like, it is.
I literally had a patient, I swear to God, grabs a tub of sugar and eats it every single day. She was so addicted that she was in the waiting room. I went to go see on a patient.
She would literally get
sugar packets and eating it. It's full addiction.
It's horrible. Bro, diabetes?
No, I agree. I didn't mean it that way.
No, I agree with you. Like, yeah, it's again, they're addicted to the excuses. There's some people that are just addicted to like, why are you gaining weight? Well, this and that. And they come up with every excuse on the face of the earth.
And everybody has a story, right? Everybody's, I went through this. This is why I started the weight loss journey, right? And I feel like, and that's something that maybe a lot of people haven't gone through a certain period where they felt like they really needed to lose the weight. For me, it was a roller coaster ride. You know, going out with my kids on these on a carnival, and you know that thing that they close on the roller coaster.
Was that the trigger for you,
bro? I could not close that fucking thing, bro. It was horrible, and I'm a bigger dude, bro. And my boobs were bigger than like my boobs. You see what I'm saying? So that day, I'm like, fuck it, bro. I'm not gonna wait till Monday. I hate that whole, okay, I'm gonna start a diet on Monday. Yeah,
fuck that. Start now.
You start today. You start now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm gonna start Monday, and then the first thing you eat is pizza.
It's not a decision, right? So a decision is made or it's not made. The Latin root word, decidere or whatever, that stands for to cut off from, right? So when you make a decision, you've cut off from all of the options. If you don't make a decision, if you say, I make a decision to do something Monday, that's not a decision.
Yeah, 100%.
You either made a decision, you didn't. You either cut off right now or you didn't, right? So
I think JJ's main question is, for that person that does not have a medical condition, that doesn't have any mental health, and that is overweight, what is it that goes in their head to say, I'm going to go reach for a pizza?
I really can't, like, I'm empathetic to people because I'm like, we can go down this rabbit hole, but like, what is that thing that they know, like why, like what does needs to change for you? Because there's no kind of coaching or trick or magic trick or like line.
Take it up a layer. Well, okay. We're down a weight loss layer, but it's the same reason why some people are fucking broke. Yeah. They know how to read the books. They know how to attend the events. They know how to watch all the videos. It's the same things. It's a comfort zone. It's a fear of success. It's a fear of rejection. Mm. All the fears and all the belief systems. So right. The reason why someone stays in that way physically is the same reason someone else stays in that way financially.
It's true.
You know, how do you get rich? Do a set of actions all the time. How do you get in shape? Do a set of actions all the time. Why aren't you? You got baggage. That's the question that changes everybody's life. Why did you stay stuck in that thing? You know, and you either can help them, but they got to help themselves.
Yeah. So yeah.
Self-belief. All of you guys are successful in everything that you guys have done and in business and relationships. And
Andrew and I are still working on ours, with the females, you know.
What's your core philosophy or principles regarding a path of just success in anything?
I think consistency is key, 100%.
Discipline.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. Like, I mean, you really want to succeed.
Answer it for you, though. Don't answer it
for the
podcast.
It is consistency for me. It is consistency. Okay. For this, and I use my weight loss journey as a success because I stay consistent. And anything that you stay consistent with, somehow you'll reach a point to where you want to reach.
You can't be a doctor without consistently showing up and working nonstop, around the clock, shittiest schedule
shittiest
to study.
Hours. Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
And patients vomiting on you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just, it's...
I know, I admire what you guys do. Like, hearing what nurses deal with me, like, you do like 14-hour shifts and then you're like home for six and then you're up, like... Mentally,
it does.
It's hard, bro.
Especially in residency. Yeah. Residency really takes a toll on you.
What does residency mean?
Like the training part. So, like you do 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of medical school, and then residency is 3 to 7 years. Like neurosurgery, 7 years.
But your life is just this.
And that part, like imagine going in first day, all your classmates are your like rivals, your enemies, even though they're your friends, but they're really not your friends.
Why is that?
They just all want to be the best.
It's a competition. I mean,
everybody wants to be the chief resident. Everybody wants to be the best in that class. Everybody wants to stand out. Everyone wants to write the best paper.
Yeah.
And so it's a competition plus hard work, plus no sleep, plus everyone's hand, life is in your hand. Like,
so for you, do you say the same thing, consistency, or do you say a different word as your lead philosophy?
Like for me, honestly, I feel like I know everybody talks about like finding something you love, but I just feel like unless you actually like what you do, you don't have to love it, but unless you actually like it, where you wake up in the morning and say, fuck, like the people that say, God damn it, I have to go, very hard to be successful. It's no matter what job, you can be a billionaire, but if you wake up every day miserable, I don't know, man. I just feel like that's, you're never going to be happy. And so again, you're not going to be the happiest person. Nobody wakes up, I'm like, yay.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Andrew, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think to piggyback off that, you know, I'm in a field that I do not enjoy. I'll be honest with you. I've been very, very financially successful in my field, and I've closed arguably more loans than the top 1% of mortgage brokers in Miami. I've done $1.1 billion in closed in the last...
With no leads?
Buying no leads.
With?
Building a personal brand. There it is. So, thank you. But with that being said, you know, I've had a lot of roller coasters. I made a lot of money. I lost a lot of money. And you know, I can for sure make $50,000 to $100,000 every month. I know that because I've done it. But the problem is in my field, I don't love what I do, right? I get so frustrated that I want to quit every single day. Yeah. And it is
You got them golden handcuffs.
Yeah. So I do have the golden handcuffs. And the thing is, like, could I get out of the industry and take my savings, invest it in something and be okay? Yeah. But I'm almost shackled to the business because this is the only thing I know how to do that makes real money at this moment in time.
Yeah. Anywhere else, you're gonna have to sacrifice something at the time.
You gotta pay your bills too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, for sure.
So the thing is, what keeps me going is I've found the ability to, I would say my word would be delegation. Because I found a way to delegate the tasks that I really, really, really hate in this business to someone else. I've hired out the things that actually I despise.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm able to do, although I don't love it, I'm really, really good at it. And I do get a sense of accomplishment because I love being good at something. And so I think as a man, we all want to be good at something, and we get some type of drive and fuel after being like, yo, I just fucking closed that deal.
Yeah, or that excitement, like, that happiness. Yeah.
And I'm able to solve someone's problem. I'm able to, it's because like, what I hate is the process. The process fucking blows. But if you're consistent through the process, right? And like when you get out on the other side, you could just have a sense of accomplishment that makes you feel like, you know what? I do hate the process, but I love this feeling right now. And that's the addiction that I have. It's not, it's a little bit to sugar, but it's not so much sugar. But I really do have, I have an addiction to feeling accomplished.
Yeah. But I feel like you can't get to that step of happiness unless you go through these steps that you're going through. Like,
well, I mean,
nobody likes med school, but people like being a doctor because it's the title and the money and everything else, but you have to go through the process.
Yeah, of course.
That is, you you didn't like what you did. But in order to get to that happiness where you can delegate, say, hey, you do this, you do this. If you didn't have the money, you wouldn't be able to delegate.
Well, to even go a step further, like, how would we even be doing this here 100%. Right now if it weren't for the mortgage industry?
Yeah, 100%.
Because that's what paid for all this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Somebody's got to pay for it, right? Yeah.
So delegation, so your ability to know, delegate, sustain your gifts. So I'm going to go with, when you first start, for me, if somebody's out there first starting, it's just pure fucking desire, pure hunger. Mm. But as that graduates, it's, that changes, right? So for me now, it's leadership. So for me, it's the ability to instill mindset and skill set into other people.
That's a great skill.
And to the only way to multiply yourself in anything is through leadership, right? Otherwise, you're just adding plus sign versus you take a plus sign, you tilt that bitch 45 degrees, you gotta multiply, right? So that's the difference between having great skill set and mindset yourself and instilling that into other people. Now, coaches, experts, authors, all that other stuff, they instill it to other people on a dollar exchange or whatever, right? Leadership is not getting paid for the content you gave them. Leadership is pouring your heart and soul into people. If they win, you win. If they lose, you lose.
Right.
If you know, and that's very different.
Well, that's why most people that are stuck always say, I wish I had 100 of me.
Yeah.
So it's exactly what you're just saying. If you can multiply yourself and teach them what those exact things that you're talking about, you wouldn't have that problem.
Leadership's hard. It's the hardest thing to do.
It's very hard.
I'm not good at it.
There's a great quote that I learned. It's my favorite leadership quote. He said, where there is cows, there is shit. Yeah. And where there's people, there are problems.
Yeah.
So to walk into a cow pasture, and to be surprised that there's cow shit is as ridiculous to be leading people and to be surprised.
For sure. I love that. Yeah, that makes so much sense.
My favorite leadership quote of all time. Yeah. Odie, what's kind of your go-to philosophy for all the things that you've done successfully?
Like belief in me.
Yeah, self-belief.
All the countries, all the industries that I've done everything from like show business to TV hosting, run a digital agency, nightclub, hype man, travel around the world. Like, I always know
one of the best MCs I've ever seen.
Thanks, man.
You are really good at that.
Oh, you're fantastic.
You're a natural at that.
I love people, but I worked at it.
Pull everybody in.
Yeah, but I worked at it. I got trainers, and I got went from people that I really admired. Every time I want to do something, I'm like, okay. I know it sounds very cliche, but it's like always been true to me, because it's like, listen, if you just have the belief of like, I'll make it work. Whatever I go to do, whoever I go to see, however I go to call. Like that kind of a desire as well. Like every time I want something, it's like everything just disappears and you go, that's the target.
Well, hunger is having the desire. Self-belief is knowing you can fucking do it.
That's true.
Yeah. And there's a big difference between those two.
Yeah.
Like you've got the self-belief that no matter what you choose to do, you're going to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm going to make it happen. Yeah. And I've always believed like that's you don't huge. Need to, I never went to college, never got a degree. And it's like, I've always done these things. It's like that pieces of paper, labels, resumes, it means nothing. Like if you can meet people and if people can know you, they can feel you, like people kind of love people that are persistent. You know, there is a charm and charisma about it. You don't want to be the idiot.
But you have self-belief and desire. Without those two, you need education. So you can't have no education, no self.
Yeah, well, I always say
you know
this.
What I mean? Like,
Jim Rohn, if you take an idiot and you motivate him, what do you have?
Yeah.
A motivated idiot.
Right.
I believe this though too. You know how people say like fake it till you make it? It's like that's the worst. Most people lie till you die.
I hate that shit.
Like I think there's a way to finesse, but at the end of the day, right? Let's say you're a big movie producer, right? And I'm an actor and I've faked it and you give me 30 seconds to kind of show me your skills and I get up, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, you better be able to bring your A game. So it's like, when we're talking about the opportunity right now, you better go. Like, all of us, if I was like, whoever your perfect prospect client is, they're here, and they literally, I've been in meetings before on TV where they're like, 30 seconds, pitch me. You have no prep, no time, you're like, go.
Get it.
And you got to be so like rehearsed and prepared for that self-belief, like done.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people don't know, they haven't been put in a position.
I heard a
like
quote
that.
Literally last week, and I can't believe I've never fucking heard this quote, because I've always associated cringe to fake it till you make it. It's like fucking cringe. Why don't you just be authentic?
Right.
And the person said, faith it till you make it.
Faith it till you make it.
Wow.
I love
that.
Believe
so
fucking hard. Yeah. That's actually perfect.
I love that Faith it till you make it. I love that.
Yeah.
Is now a bad time to tell you that my kids are pulling up in 3 minutes?
Yes. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
So I'll you want me to casually walk out in a few minutes?
No, that's fine. Yeah. Okay. I mean, because I'm going to have to reset that camera and that. Yeah. I also have 30-minute timers.
Well, let's do this. Last words of wisdom, right? Last words of wisdom. Give people who are listening right now that maybe are feeling like, listen, I get it. I want to do more. I want to be more. Like, what is that thing that you want to share with them on just like next steps, like next level for them?
At a certain point, you will be broken. You will fall. As long as you get up and you keep trying, it will come no matter what you do. So that is something that I personally went through. You know, you'll hit obstacles, you'll hit walls, get up, keep going, no matter what is in front of you.
Resilience,
for sure.
I think self-belief. I think that's one thing that I feel like I need to work on myself. That's why I love being around you. It's just your confidence is like, it's contagious.
It really is.
And like, I feel like that takes a lot of work. Like, people think that you were just born like that. You weren't just born like that.
You're not born with confidence. You're not born with, you learn it, man.
And it takes work. It gets going out and meeting people.
Yeah. Makes sense. No one ever said Sri Lankan man. You know? We never had a problem with that department, you know?
That's where you get your confidence from, bro.
Sure. That's why I want to throw a pattern interrupt in there, see what happens.
That's what the tight pants are for.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes it look bigger.
Yeah, but give them something like from your point of view. Like, someone's listening right now going like, Saman, what would you give me as a piece of move advice?
Honestly, what we were talking about earlier is just consistency. And staying consistent every single day, because there's gonna be a lot of days where you just don't feel like doing it. You wanna give up and you feel like, especially with social media, man, when you wake up and you just see all these people, like when I was going through med school, that's all I was seeing. I was like, dude, I make no money. All I'm doing is paying money, for 8 years now. And every single one of my friends that did nothing are making money and killing it. And you just wake up every day like, I wanna quit. I could leave and I could make money like this guy. I could do this and I could do it like this guy. And I was like, no, fuck that. This is my path. I've already started. That's one thing my dad always told me. Like, if you're going to believe in something that you want to do, you can't fucking quit. That's since I was a kid. I worked at Pizza Hut. I delivered like pizza. I was like, dad, I'm so embarrassed. I smell like pizza. It's like, fuck that. You're going to quit this. You're going to quit your next job. You're going to quit school. You're going to quit medical. You're going to quit everything.
Wow. Had a lot of fat girlfriends though.
Some extra cheese on that motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
That boy smells good.
Sure.
The bigger...
Man, the one piece that I would leave, if you've been given a vision, if you have a vision, if you have a dream, take a moment to really understand that that vision is yours. That vision was given to you by God for a reason.
Oh, man.
Right?
Preach.
And that vision wasn't given to someone else. It was given to you. And so many people are given visions and they don't have the balls to go after it. And they think that somebody else should go do it because I can't do it, right? Back to the self-belief, right? But if you have a vision, then faith it till you make it. Have the understanding that you have everything that you need right now. You don't need anything more. You don't need another check. You don't need another job. You don't need another girl. You don't need anything else. You don't need another partner. What do you have right now? Take a baby step. Take a small step today to get you somewhere closer to that vision. It could be phoning somebody, it could be asking for money, it could be there's if you really think about it long enough, if you sit there and write down your vision, that's the important part, is writing down the vision. If you write down your vision and you make it plain and you really think on it and you get alone away from the distractions and away from the scrolling and seeing all the friends that are making all the money everywhere else, and you sit there and be like, really sit with the vision and say, wow, I have an idea that I want to open a space next door. We just spoke about this, right? I could have easily said, you know what, I'm afraid. I don't want to do that.
No, I'm proud of you. You made a decision quick.
And like, as soon as we spoke about it, I said, what do you think? I didn't ask 10, 15, 20 people's opinions. I asked two people. I signed the fucking lease the next day. And look, and now we got it.
But just to tap on that, and I know Nick's got to go in a second, but like, look what happened when you made that decision super quick. What?
Everything has fallen into place.
Hey, I need to talk about that a lot, by the way. That's helped me a lot.
But dude, speed is your friend.
Speed. Yeah. So like, that really makes a big difference.
But the universe was like, look, you made a decision quick, and then this kind of energy opens up. And like,
well, his reticular activating system just shifted to say, bring me all of the brain, recognize everything that aligns with that space.
Right, right.
And right before you sign that lease, reticular activating system didn't give a shit about that space, right?
For sure.
So, now it sees everything.
So my thing is, if you have a vision, you have what you need, go after it with everything that you have. Fucking believe in yourself, and I promise you that you're either going to succeed or you're going to learn something that's going to help you on the next endeavor.
I love how you said, Andrew, that you ask. See how you ask? There's nothing wrong with asking a mentor, asking somebody that's been through it. I love that. That's the best line ever, honestly. Ask.
Yeah. This is an easy one for me. I'm going to give a formula because I became a decamillionaire in my early 30s. And by my mid-30s, I started reverse engineering the whole thing into, it actually turned out to be 700 slides. And I had a four-day workshop called Millionaire Immersion, blah, blah, blah. And the first pillar or philosophy is Art of Desire. And for me, how I became successful through that pillar is, number one, the biggest dreams you can have that you then add deadlines to, which become goals, which you also have the right habits that you execute every day. Every day execution consistently of the right habits. If you have the wrong habits, you're not going to achieve the outcomes, right? Those habits then are dreams turning into goals, plus habits, plus the right values. The values are who you are being. So if you have a goal of, I want to make 2 million this year, you have a habit of calling 100 people, but you have but you act like an asshole, that's not going to work, right? So when I learned that from Tony Robbins, I was like, holy shit, who am I being while executing these habits? It's very different than just executing the habits.
Interesting.
Plus visualization every day. Every day. It's before, for me, visualization is number one, health and fitness is number two.
Interesting.
And then lastly, times emotion. I just like you do, I show up, I bring the emotion, I bring the energy all the time, goals plus habits. Values plus visualization times emotion equals your life. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Just keep executing that formula.
Great answer, Nick.
How about you?
For me, it's all in your head. That self-doubt, half of it's not real. We talk ourselves out of it. We say these things. She won't text me. It's not meant to call. Like, that's the one thing that I'm so present about, like emotional control. Like, it's not real. How many times have we thought about something? It's like, and then you call the person or you, it's like, dude, like I'm so present to my emotions. I feel like so many people are on like, they're like a twig. You can snap people in half by one thing you say. Like, and it's helped because in entertainment I was, you know, you get drilled every day online and you just get negative comments. But like, you got to kind of be that, the Matrix with them, the bullet, he moves the bullet. It's like, it's not, half of it's not real. Cause it's just, this stories can become it. I'm great. Like it's not real. So I think the stories you have to be so careful about, because on this journey, up like or down or whatever, it's that talk, it's that self, that self-belief, self-talk. So yeah, stories.
It's a funny story, just last thing, when my cousin was just starting YouTube and Instagram, we knew like Jake Paul, Logan Paul, and like we would go into like his apartment and he would have like sticky notes everywhere. I will own a Lamborghini, I will be the biggest YouTuber, and everybody would laugh at him like, dude, what the hell is this ugly ass writing, why are you writing on the wall? And I always remembered like his little sticky notes, and like now he's done all
bro,
of
I'm 44. If you walked into my bedroom right now, you would see everywhere all my goals, my purpose statements. My purpose statements and goals are in my shower, they're in my bathroom, they're in my fucking closet, they're next to my bed.
That works for you. Again, everywhere, no copy.
I'm
nobody.
44. Yeah. Right? It's like, right. And instead of a vision board now, it's just we moved it all to digital and shoots, it just plays on the Apple TV. With music, just every image of everything I want to do, be, have, touch, etc.
That's beautiful, man. That's
great, awesome. You guys had
thank you, man. Yeah.